On today's show, we have a trip report, and we are saying goodbye to the Country Bear Jamboree. That's up next on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 435 of Traveling with a Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined by a sad individual today, because he actually said goodbye to the Country Bears. He's getting treated for depression, not just because it's January, but because the Country Bears closed down.
Boo. What's up, everybody? Yeah, I'm a sad individual today.
Yeah, but he's a sad sack.
I'm a sad individual.
Oh.
But no. Yes, I will talk about my emotional experience later on. So
now, this, just to be clear, this wasn't the last day of operation, but it was the last time he was going to see it.
Yes.
Because it was not too long before.
Right. I think it was about 10 days prior.
Yeah.
I think it was better for me personally because, you know, we have a long history with this, with that show in particular. Our, as you know, family, a lot of memories. It was one of our favorites. And always knew the show well. And so it was like a, you know, it was a little sad because we'll, you know, won't get to see that show ever again, most likely.
Well, it was, it was 52 plus years.
Yeah.
That the show was running mostly in its original. It did get trimmed down about a decade or so ago. 12 years ago.
Right.
This year.
Yeah. And of course, there was the vacation hoedown period.
Yeah.
Of years, which I don't really remember, but I was there for, but it was kind of, I was very young.
Not as good as the original, but it was still, it was better than some of the things you would see today.
Right. Did they ever do the Christmas version here? Like for how long? I never saw the Christmas.
I don't know what years they ran it. They started the Christmas version overlay before they did the hoedown. They started the Christmas version overlay in 1984. And then 2 years later, they changed it to the hoedown.
Yeah.
And then I think by 91, they changed it back to the original in Walt Disney World. But yeah, they kept the hoedown in California.
Right. I just remember only really seeing in person the original version, I guess. But the Vacation Hoedown, we have obviously that video from 87.
Mm-hmm. That was a hoedown.
That was it, yeah. And I remember seeing it on the video, but not really any memories in person of it. So
right,
I really had the original. And of course, we had the LP or the vinyl record of the original one as well.
Yes, do have that.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. But so we listened to it as kids and knew it very well, and listened to the whole show.
Didn't understand it as well as kids, but some of the jokes.
Right. It's definitely different when you're an adult going back watching the show.
Yeah.
So you're like, wow, okay, there's definitely a theme here. These bears are...
It was fun. It was entertaining. It
is. You
had to have the right sense of humor to really appreciate it fully.
Yeah. A little irreverent for this day and age, too, which is probably why they're changing it, but...
Maybe.
That's part of the charm of it, I think. I mean...
I know we're probably jumping ahead, but we are definitely more popular in Florida, for whatever reason, than it was in California, the original show.
Right.
I don't know what the reason was. I mean, because they, like I said, when they made the change to the Vacation Hoedown, they kept it in California up until its demise.
In 2001?
September of 2001, yeah.
Right, yeah.
When they changed it to Pooh.
Right. And they had built two theaters in California as well, thinking, oh, this show's really popular in Florida. They should have built a second one in Florida. And all the crowds in the early days anyway.
Yeah. But, well, they actually built a whole land around it in California after it took off.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Bear Country is what it was to start with.
Well, yeah. Critter Country.
Changed it to Critter Country, I think, whenever they did Splash. Splash, yes.
Yeah, Splash Mountain.
And now they're both gone.
That's what I remember. Yeah, well, right. Which now is just going to be New Orleans Square, I assume.
I don't know. I don't know whether... What do they call that area now?
I have to look.
I don't think they've renamed it yet. They're probably waiting until it's closer to Tiana's opening.
Yeah. let's segue back then to
your trip.
Yeah, let's wrap that up. Like the mini episode was us. We was kind of mid trip when we summarized a few of the things we did on that. If you listen to our last kind of episode, so quickly we drove down to Disney. This was MLK weekend on Friday. We stayed at Port Orleans Riverside because it had the fifth sleeper. So we had those three kids. And it was a nice little room, actually. Sizable. I didn't hate that room. It was a cute little...
Was they have Lewis in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was behind the bed, sleeping.
Those were queens?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, our room at Riviera was a very similar layout in terms of, like, the two beds, the two queens, and then the pull-out fifth sleeper kind of thing.
Which room was bigger?
Well, Riviera was definitely bigger, but not by a ton.
I don't know if I could say definitely. Their rooms don't look that huge.
they're not gigantic, but there was definitely bigger. And, of course, you get the balcony, and there was, like, a giant closet that we had at Riviera. So we were only in that room like 8 hours, and then we slept and got up and drove to Riviera, parked, and took the Skyliner to Epcot. And we did Garden Grill, which that was Jason's first time doing Garden Grill. I think he liked it a lot, but we had a really great server. He had the blue name tag on. He was really wonderful, but he was really slow. Like, we had a almost 2 hour breakfast.
So how many times did you see the land?
We almost did two loops. Like, we did a loop and a half at least. We were way past where we started. We were almost back to the desert. We had started like in that area kind of near the entrance, you know. We did a whole loop and we're almost back to the desert before we left. Anyway, saw the characters like five times. Like, seriously, we saw Chip and Dale at least four times.
They were probably running out of things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say, now that we're talking about this, I think it was Dale. Clearly, it was a different person one time because he came over and my son had the autograph book or whatever. And then he was like, oh, you want me to sign the book? And he's like, oh, you already signed it. And then he just sort of played it off like, oh, I was just being silly, you know, like, ha, ha, ha. But I was like, I bet it's a different person. They didn't realize they'd already signed it. But anyway, he played it off very well, though. I'll put it that way. I forgot exactly what he did, but he was just like, oh, I'm just being Dale. I'm just being silly. I was like, I'm sure it's a different person, but cool. Well played. Right. If only you could yell. But anyway, it was good. The watermelon was amazing. I remember we talked about that. It was from the land down below. We did some rides. We got the popcorn bucket, the Figment popcorn bucket they had mobile order for. And so we walked over to the Odyssey, and the cast member outside was like, it's not really busy. You could probably just go right in. And so we did the mobile order on the phone, and it called us back immediately. We walked in, grabbed the bucket, left. So day two of farts, we got the popcorn bucket, which... Yeah, it was straight there, but anyway. So that was easy. I didn't expect us to even get it because I'm like, we're not waiting in a line to get it, but we got it. It's a nice little collector's item. We wandered around World Showcase. We saw Voices of Liberty, which was really nice. That was cool. Something different. We hung out in Japan for a little bit. It was fun. Did some rides. Let's see. Highlights. Let's see. Day two. We did... Space 220 again, which okay. We talked about it on that last week's recording, but overall it's decent. Like, it's not terrible. I think it's worth doing, one, for the experience, and the food is still okay. Like, it's, I would say it's not as good as when it first opened, but it's still worth it. As a kind of splurge, it's worth it. The next day was Hollywood Studios. Let's see, anything 50s primetime for one.
Okay.
That was another first for Jason.
I was about to say, I thought that was the first time for him.
Yeah. And we both got the fried chicken, and yes, it's better to me than Olivia's.
Okay.
That was amazing fried chicken. It was really good. And I did get the PB&J milkshake, but nobody wanted it but me. Like,
it's good.
What the heck? Like, it is really good. Like, it's worth it every time.
I think some people, when they hear it, they just kind of turns them off immediately. Yeah. They just think, but I mean, if they just give it a try, I think they would like it.
Yeah, it was so good. Like, peanut butter, how could you go wrong? And then the jelly adds the sweetness. Like, oh, so good. I don't know why they didn't like it, but they gave us like 4-5 giant straws in the thing. Can't see it.
So but everybody could try it if they wanted
to. Yeah, but I was the only one that, I tried to chug the whole thing, which was not a great idea. But anyway.
I think, let's see, when I was there last, yeah, I'm pretty sure I said it on the review. I got the shrimp and grits because that was their specialty that day. It was really good that time.
Yeah. It's a good experience. It's fun. It's a fun little restaurant. So
I like the unique experiences when I'm at Disney most of the time.
Yeah. It's definitely a unique one, and it's good. Of course, we did Baseline. We also did Oga's, and we sat with another group. It was interesting. We talked to them. They had just been to Universal for 2 days and only did Hollywood Studios and did not buy Genie Plus. I think they waited like 2 hours for Rise.
I was going to say, were they just doing Star Wars, basically?
Yeah. I think they did. Yeah, they were trying. I think it was mostly Star Wars. They were trying to do. They were from Chicago, and I think they were going back the next day.
I got a feeling they've probably been there before.
Yeah, but they weren't like overwhelmingly happy with Universal. But I think they were staying at Universal as well. But anyway, it was an interesting conversation. We did tell them about the podcast. They, you know, so if they're listening. You know, thanks for hanging out with us at Oga's. We had a good conversation. And then I think at one point we hopped over to Magic Kingdom to do Tron. I think we had just bought the individual Lightning Lane and went over there and did it and came back. And yeah, I think we did Tron 3 times on this trip. And it's definitely grown on me. It's not going to ever knock Guardians off the top spot. But it is really fun. Tron is really fun when you don't have to wait an enormous amount of time for it.
It's grown on you, so it's sort of like a part of you that you don't necessarily, that you just can't get rid of.
Yeah.
It's grown on you.
It's like a mole. It's like a hairy mole on my back that I can't get rid of. But it is grown
human hair.
Yeah. From my back. So, yeah, we roped a couple of sea turtles and rode Tron. And then I think, I don't remember what else we did at Magic Kingdom, but we basically just, I think we just minivaned over and minivaned back to Hollywood Studios. And then we ate at Mama Melrose's. We were going to try to do Pizza Rizzo, but it closed at 5.
Interesting.
And we got back there at like 5:30 or 6, something like that. So we missed it. And we ended up Mama Melrose's, which was, it was good. We were talking about it. It was good. It wasn't like outstanding, but it's good. I've never gotten anything terrible there, but it's not like I want to go out of my way to eat at Mama Melrose's either.
Hey.
At Hollywood Studios, though, I don't know. It's hard to say what would be the best there. I like Brown Derby Lounge just because I can get the people watching, the Cobb salad. Yeah, that's all. I mean, Brown Derby is okay, but I would rather sit outside and eat the Cobb salad and people watch.
I was going to say, don't you get like a half Cobb salad if you're at the...
It's pretty big.
It's a slightly smaller portion. It's still pretty big.
I don't know. It's still pretty big to me. A lot of times my wife and I split it. So, even at the lounge. Speaking of, I did run into Danielle, who was our favorite server there. She remembered us.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah.
And she told us hi. And
at least she said she did.
No, I think she did. Because she was like, she knew where we were from. She remembered where we were from and everything. So she did remember. And actually, yeah, I wasn't trying to find her, but she saw me and was like, oh, hi. So we were getting drinks at the walk-up at Brown Derby Lounge and saw her. So that was great. So if you're going to Brown Derby Lounge on a weekend in particular, look for her if you can, because she's amazing. All right, what else? Hollywood. What else did we do? Of course, we hit baseline. All right, I'll get to Country Bear last, so let me think of some other stuff we did. We were at La Cava. Of course, we missed Barbas. He wasn't there. He was visiting family. So we just did the walk-up.
As if you didn't know that ahead of time.
Of course we knew, yes. But we were bummed. I was bummed that we didn't get to do that. But
do you remember the name of the person you did get?
Well, we didn't sit down. We just did the walk-up. So, but we ended up eating that night at Connections and tried their pizza. It was good, decent, but I still haven't had like a really good slice. And we were gonna do Via Napoli, but I forgot. Oh, we switched. He wanted to switch to Space 220.
Was this the search for good pizza in Disney?
Kind of, yeah. We were actually craving pizza for whatever reason. I think Primo Piatta has pretty good pizza. Or flatbread, if you want to call it. They don't call it pizza, but...
You know...
I don't know.
I never had anything that's, like, amazing there, but I mean, then again... I never had anything from Pizza Rizzo, but I've had it when it was Pizza Planet, and I was like, it was fine. It was nothing.
Yeah. It's probably about the same, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to try Via Napoli, but then Space 220 popped up, so of course he switched it to that.
Right.
So we did that instead. So I'm still yet to try the pizza from Via Napoli, but one day.
That's got to be good because, I mean, that's kind of what they made their restaurant around, right? That's their base.
That's the whole thing. It's supposed to be an authentic pizzeria, but we shall see.
James ate there. We can ask him. At least I thought he did.
Via Napoli?
I thought this one he ate. Maybe he ate the other one.
We'll have to see if
he was the name of the other one. It's
Tutto Italia?
Yeah, that's where he was. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they have pizza on their menu.
Yeah, they probably don't.
The pasta's good there, though.
You mean the in-room delivery pizza is not the best?
I don't know. Depends on where you're at, I guess.
It seemed like it wasn't that bad over at Coronado.
I don't remember.
I know we ordered it. We ordered room service that night that we were, when we stayed at Destino.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the quest to find the best pizza at Disney, for sure. I think the best burger was Three Burgers. At least that's the best burger I've had. Of course, I'm not trying.
It's really good. Everywhere. I think I still give the edge to Beaches and Cream personally, just because
it's been a while since I've had that one, so I got to revisit it.
Yeah,
Deluxe Burger.
That's more of a nostalgia thing. I think is the reason why I give that one though.
Yeah,
best so.
Well, speaking of nostalgia, we'll get to there was definitely some nostalgia on this trip. Kind of wrapping up though. What else did we? There was the Magic Kingdom Day we ate at the Plaza, which, again, the Plaza's pretty dang good as well for, like, a nice lunch spot.
Yeah.
I got the chicken sandwich. That was good.
Let's just say they've changed the menu up a little bit, haven't they? They don't have a Monte Cristo currently.
I don't think so, no.
No.
Jason had the... Do they have the burger?
Are they known for some kind of, like, turkey sandwich?
They do have one, yeah. I think they have, like, a club or something. I recall. And the kids like everyone liked it though. Everybody ate their food, which was good. And you can get you a nice, you know, a little drink or two before you leave. So that's nice. Animal Kingdom, it was like our leaving day, so we just had like half a day. We got up late too. We slept in because we were at the Epcot after hours the night before, which it was good. I'm trying to think. I don't think we utilized it as much as we thought. I mean, we did Test Track. We did Guardians. We did Frozen. We did
the Journey of Water.
Actually, we didn't. We didn't even go over there. We were going to. We never did.
Where?
We walked around the new gardens, though. I got to see Walt and all that. But yeah, it was fine, you know. And Festival of the Arts, we bought a few pieces here and there, like things. I do love Festival of the Arts. I think it's really good.
That picture you shared of Maelstrom was pretty fun.
Yes. Jason ended up buying this thing of maps of three of the four parks. And I mentioned this on the last week's thing, but they didn't have an Epcot one because the artist is waiting for them to finish it so he'll know what it looks like.
So it's current.
Right, exactly. So it's like a park map, like, you know, kind of like a park map, but like a well-made painting of one.
I think it would be cool to have a classic like that.
Yeah, it would be cool. Like a painting of one, or like just a vintage map.
So like the original Magic Kingdom, original Epcot Studios.
Yeah. I do have the original Magic Kingdom one, because they were selling those at the 50th. Reprints of them, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. I think, so Animal Kingdom, we did end our, so we basically just did Everest, and then we didn't even buy Genie that day. We just went over to Everest, rode it. It was short wait. And then we did buy the individual Lightning Lane for Flight of Passage and rode it. And then we just did Nomad Lounge and just hung out there before we drove back. And yeah, of course, the food so good there.
Mm-hmm.
The drinks are not as good to me personally. They have good ones, but I don't know. La Cava to me has the best drinks
in comparison to La Cava. Otherwise, no man would be on the same level. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
It's a matter of preference, I think.
Of course, it's preference. Yeah. But I just.
Although La Cava is popular among a lot of people. So,
yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah. I mean, there's 5 or 6 drinks on that menu, even though they are pricier than a lot of places, too. I will say that La Cava is pricey.
Then again, tequila is also popular. So, that probably has something to do with it.
Could be. But. They do have, like I said, 5 or 6 home runs on their menu, whereas a lot of the places I've been, they have 1 or 2, and the others are okay. So that's the thing to me. La Cava has more heavy hitters than the other places. But
gotcha.
Anyway, that was kind of it. I can't think of it. I'm looking through the pictures. There's probably a couple other things that can maybe interject, but really the main goal of our Magic Kingdom day was to, for me personally anyway, was to go see the Country Bear Jamboree and give it a proper send-off, pay my respects.
To the Crunchy Bears?
The Crunchy Bears, that's what my kid used to call it.
Was it Aiden that said that?
Yeah, he used to call them the Crunchy Bears. Very cute. And, you know, that's part of it right there. It's like I grew up watching it. My kids have learned to appreciate this show,
at least the watered down version.
Yeah, and they have, like, my oldest really understood that this goes back a long way for me, so he was much more like, let me learn more about this show and understand it, and he really liked it as well. So we saw it definitely was, it hit me more emotionally than I thought it would, to be honest. And
you got to overthinking it.
I probably did, but I mean, it's just certain things, you know, you think back on, you know, you get that nostalgia hit of, you know, like remembering this from a kid, or it reminds you of certain people that are no longer with you, things like that.
Right.
Teddy Bear was my mom's favorite. I have the plush now that she used to own. I don't remember if she bought it at Disney.
Didn't you guys, made me think of it when you said plush, but didn't you guys also used to have the veggie fruit plushes?
Yeah, she did have those, the broccoli.
Yeah.
That was what the...
Are they still banana? Intact? Don't know.
I feel like I've seen them, but I don't recall what happened to them. But yeah, I do remember she had them, but I don't actually know what happened to them now. Yeah, that was another one she really liked. But you see Teddy Bear come down.
Holly Berry.
You know, I couldn't help but think of my mom, and that was, you know, definitely hits a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Big Al was just like, that was our favorite as a kid, or at least for me. I remember we loved Big Al.
Everybody loved Big Al.
And he got...
Big Al had his own merchandise.
Yeah, right. His own merchandise cart that they don't sell any Country Bear Jamboree merch.
Not now.
Right. And we tried to find anything, like a pen or anything.
Nothing. Probably going to have to go to eBay.
Right. Tokyo, however, sells Country Bear Jamboree merch, but can't find any Magic Kingdom. Not a single thing. Anyway. So it was a little kind of annoying that they don't have anything. They should have at least like thrown some pins out there or something. Like,
you know, it's
not even worth that for them.
It's kind of, it's interesting, I should say. I don't know if I would say sad. Like, I mean, I guess sad just kind of too, but this was the original or one of the original attractions when Walt Disney World opened.
Yes.
One of the main ones, really, that they opened with the park.
Yeah. What ticket was it back in the day?
I don't know. I didn't find that.
I should look that up.
Although, let's see, it lasted approximately 52 years, for the most part untouched. I guess you could say it lasted, 40 years untouched completely, with the exception of the sponsorship being omitted.
Right.
But it lasted 40 years untouched and just barely, it was basically trimmed down in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably one of the last ones that's not been adjusted really all that much. They also made a couple of changes to some of the animatronics in 2012. They changed some of their getup and kind of refreshed it. You didn't know that?
You mean some of the costumes?
Yeah, the most notable change to me was they made some changes with Gomer, for instance. I think they changed like his hat or something. It was something different. But they made some changes. They kind of freshened him up. I think they did it with a couple of others, actually. I think they did Liver Lips was probably noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Or was to me.
Okay.
Just go back and look at one prior to 2012. And then look at one after 2012. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right. I'll have to see.
They kind of they made it a tad more colorful in 2012. So, shortening up about 3 minutes, I think. So, yeah.
So, according to this, at Disneyland, it was an e-ticket in 1972.
Okay.
So, I assume at Disney World it was, too. I was trying to find what it was at Disney World. But
okay.
Anyway, so, wow. So, it was an e-ticket.
Yeah, originally. It wasn't quite as popular in Disneyland as Disney World. As a matter of fact, when they made that change to the Vacation Hoedown, they changed it back in Florida, whereas they kept it in California until September 9th of 2001, when Pooh came in over there, and Pooh is there to this day. So, yeah.
Did you watch any of the stuff from the closing day, January 26th?
I really haven't. I've been meaning to. I just haven't gotten around to it.
So I'm glad I saw it a week prior because...
Yeah, the crowd got a little rowdy.
Yeah, like the theater wasn't even completely full when I saw it. And it was quiet. It was a nice, like, for me to, like, reflect and enjoy it, soak it in. It was nice, whereas a lot of folks, rightfully so, got into the show and went out kind of with a bang, I guess.
Right.
The last day it was... Every theater was packed, and it was rowdy, and the show was lively, and everybody was just singing along with all the songs and cheering, and it was actually pretty fun. Like, it would have been cool to be there that day. A lot of people just marathoned it, too, all day.
It was probably similar to how the show was back in the day all the time.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
All the time, and yeah.
I mean, honestly, because and even in 87, when they had the Vacation Hoedown, on that video that I have, you can hear the people are like, it's a full theater.
Yeah.
You can tell that from the claps.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, they're into it, even with the Vacation one. So,
well,
you can imagine. I don't know when it started dying down, truthfully. I think probably over its time, people probably somewhat forgot it as far as generations go.
Yeah, I read somewhere, too, that little cut-through between Adventureland and Frontierland, where the magic carpets are and the Tiki Room and the Dole Whip, the Aloha Isle, was just the extended queue for Country Bear Jamboree for many years, and there wasn't even a cut-through right there.
Really?
I forgot where I read that, but yeah, somebody was saying for many years it was just the extended queue for Country Bear Jamboree.
I remember the time period when they had Buff, Melvin, and Max in the Long Mile bar.
Right.
I remember seeing them after you exited. You know, I always thought that was pretty cool.
Right.
Or I said the Long Mile, the Mile Long Bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they said sing things a little bit different. Like after the show would let out, they would be singing the song still.
Right.
But after that, they would have a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of interaction that would be different than what you would see in the show.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Nice. And just to, I guess, cover the news part of this, it did break down during the 8 p.m. performance. It was supposed to go past 9. Like, they were going to cut the line off at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Probably by 11, they would have gotten through most of the line or all the line, because it was backed up all the way to Pirates. The queue was stretched past Pecos Bills and around the corner and all the way up to Pirates by 9. But the show broke down during the 8 p.m. performance, and there's videos out there of it, of Henry on the right, anyway, who's the one that's there most of the show, stopped moving. And then I can't remember the other, there was another one that stopped moving too. Can't remember which one.
Yeah, I've seen in some of the videos the animatronics looked a tad bit jerky.
Yeah.
Probably have been a minute since they gave it any true maintenance.
Yeah, and so. It does make you wonder, I'm not sure on a normal operating day did they run it as long as this, but they clearly were trying to, I don't know if they run it this long normally on a regular day. I didn't really pay attention to the hours, but obviously they knew everyone was going to want to see it as many times as possible that day, and so they were trying, and they tried to get it back up, but they never could. And so by 11, they finally just said, we'll let everybody walk through who's in the line. They didn't even open the curtains, though, which I guess makes sense because you don't want to just see, like, static bears. Yeah. But they just let people walk through the theater one last time and then handed them a poster. And I think they also got a anytime lightning lane for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that excludes, like, Seven Rush Mine Train, Tron, Peter Pan, I think, as well. So I'm
anything you could get a true advantage on.
Exactly. So anything that wouldn't be top tier was excluded from the, or would be top tier was excluded. But they were given, like, a lightning lane for the following day.
Right.
At any time. Which, if you know how to use that, you could really take advantage of
that. Yeah.
But anyway, it's another topic for another day.
Yeah. So, for those that may not know, Country Bear Jamboree was originally intended by Walt Disney to be part of the Disney's Mineral King Ski Resort in California.
Yeah.
Which he was trying to build in the mid-60s.
Yeah, right before he died.
Right.
One of his last TV, or not TV, but one of his last appearances was in September 1966 at that location. He did like a little press conference outside. And you could tell he looked slow. Like he didn't look his normal self. He was kind of downtrodden and didn't look very healthy.
It was a lot easier back in those days for celebrities to hide a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah,
because it is now.
Yeah, there's not social media and Twitter and TMZ. Following you everywhere you go.
Right.
So a lot easier to hide that. Yeah. Exactly.
But basically, when they were building that resort, he wanted some sort of a show to provide entertainment to guests at the resort. And
so they wouldn't just leave at the end of the day. They would stick around like, hey, let's watch this little bear show or whatever.
Right. He came up with a bear show idea. Yep. And, of course, they assigned it to Mark Davis.
Smartly.
Yep.
He's so good at creating these characters that are really goofy looking and silly, but, like, funny and memorable and... One of the last few, as you talk about all the time, is the original attractions. Like, that's what Disney has lacked, is like an Imagineer that can come up with these kind of characters that are just like iconic characters that are completely original.
Yeah, and apparently when we, the fan base, say that, they get the wrong idea.
Right, yeah.
Not that it's bad, because I like Runaway Railway, but a la Runaway Railway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was like, hey, we gave the fans what they wanted. Which, like, honestly, I do like that. I'm glad they did that attraction because...
But that wasn't what we were talking about.
Right, exactly.
So, originally, Davis, together with Al Bertino,
aka Big Al.
Yep.
I mean, he does look like Big Al, even though they, you know.
Right.
There's.
Although we have a local, somewhat local celebrity who has passed on now that we also thought looked a lot like Big Al, but
Heston.
Here
they
passed
out.
Heston Yates.
Oh. I knew he was getting up there, so.
Yeah. In the original days, they thought of things like marching bands, mariachi bands, and even Dixieland Bears, which I guess what we ended up with was close to Dixieland Bears.
Yeah.
But.
Which, yeah, it'll be interesting which direction they take the Country Bear musical jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Dixieland, you kind of think like a New Orleans style, maybe. With Tiana's Bayou Adventure going in, are they going to make it? Are they going to kind of marry those two a little bit stylized? You know, who knows?
Right.
But it sounds like what they said already is it's going to be like an ode to all country music or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting how they blend because they're pretty close in proximity, how they're going to.
And one that's interesting to me, a guy that was involved in this that I didn't realize he was involved in it, was Xavier Atencio, or he's also better known as X Atencio.
Nothing to do with Elon Musk, but.
Right. No. Or Malcolm X.
Yeah, well, in the day. Yeah.
But he has a pretty good history with Disney as well. He passed in 2017, but he penned the lyrics of Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me.
Yeah.
And he also penned the lyrics of Grim Grinning Ghost. So he has a pretty good legacy, and he had work on the Country Bears, which, as we know, the songs, most of them were already existing country hits. Well, I don't know if they would call them hits. They were existing country songs.
Yeah. I think in Mark Davis's book, he talked about they researched a lot of songs for this.
Right.
So they dug deep for some of these, I'm sure, but
there were several of them from country artists that most people wouldn't know today. Maybe they would know Buck Owens. That's a maybe.
Yes.
Who did How Long Is Forever?
Tex Ritter, right?
Tex Ritter. Yeah, he did Blood on the Saddle, and interestingly enough, they didn't just use his songs, but they used his actual audio for both of the songs of his that are in there. What was the other one? It was Blood on the Saddle, and there was another one.
Old Slewfoot, is that Tex Ritter?
That might have been it.
I feel like she had that one.
But I remember hearing his voice.
So if you look at our social media, I did want to throw this in there. I posted a few days ago a picture. It was from Mark Davis's book of the bear playing the tuba, which is one of the characters that he came up with. Could have been in the show, like it was for Country Bear Jamboree, but couldn't find a suitable place for it in the show. But he mentions a story that was on November 23rd, 1966. That was Walt's last visit to the studio, which was 3 weeks before he died, I think, somewhere in there. Like, three and a half weeks, whatever. And he said he laughed so hard at that picture. So that could have been Walt's last laugh, as they talked about. That famous story of Walt coming into the studio and he was showing him the pictures of the bears, concept art, essentially, of the bears. And Walt really loved it.
Yeah.
So
I guess I was wrong. I thought Tex Ritter had more than one song, but apparently he didn't.
Okay.
But How Long Will My Baby Be Gone was the Buck Owens one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What I was about to say, though, is all the songs were other people's songs, but they weren't they didn't use their voices to record them.
Yeah, yeah.
With the exception of Tex Ritter, because if you go back and look up Tex Ritter's Blood on the Saddle, you're going to get the exact same sound. The exact same soundtrack you get as, as Big Al and Country Bears.
And you know, it's big.
That would be Thurl Ravenscroft.
That's right.
Another Disney legend. He was buff.
And
that was cut out in 2012, by the way. I guess I didn't want a fat joke in there.
Right. Which you surprised even in 2012 they didn't cut out, you know, the little Buford song, which that's the one everyone keeps referring to and they're like, oh, you know, that's why they're changing it.
Well, you know what's funny, when I saw that one for the first time since they changed it, whenever that came up, I was thinking they were gonna cut that one out and I was like, oh, they left it. Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah, even we were like, oh, they left that one? All right. Of all the ones they cut, that's like they cut Fractured Folk Song and
right, that was a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, that I guess is cutting it for time more than anything.
Wasn't Fractured Folk Song an original one? Right? Or was
maybe?
It?
Maybe? I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't. Never mind.
I don't think that was original either. Yeah, it was like, I think the only original one was the Five Bear Rugs one.
They still have it in Tokyo. Yeah. They still have Fractured Folk Song in Tokyo.
Yeah. It's all. Do they have an English version of the show in Tokyo?
Some of the songs are sung in English. Some of them are sung in Japanese.
Yeah, I've watched some YouTube videos of it. I wondered if they did an English version, but
so basically the intro is done in English.
Yeah,
Liver Lips McGraw is done in English. Tears Will Be the Chaser for Your Wine is done in English.
Hmm.
So there's a few.
Which is a real song.
Devilish Mary's done in English, I think.
Yeah. Which is another one they cut.
Yeah, there's actually only a couple that are done in Japanese. Fracture Folk Song being one of them. And Davy Crockett being one of them. In the end. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to go maybe
one day to Japan.
But it's like, I don't know. I don't think it'll hit the same. Going to see it in Japan, to be honest, but I don't know. I don't think it'll feel the same.
Who is the guy that voiced Henry? I'm trying to remember.
Gosh, I was just looking that up. He was a Disney legend too. Was it Pete something?
I was gonna say Peter Renaday, right?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Is that how you say his last name?
It's not one that comes to mind immediately when you think Disney legend voices, you know, but he did a lot, actually, for Disney. I was trying to remember. I should look up again what he did a lot of voice stuff for Disney.
Well, let's see. On theme park attractions, he did Abraham Lincoln in the Hall of President.
That makes sense.
He was both Henry and Max in Country Bears.
Right. Yeah, he did. Right. He did both of those.
He was Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues.
Well, okay.
He's the narrator, interestingly enough, in The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I didn't know that, in the Magic Kingdom Disneyland and Hong Kong Disneyland version.
Okay.
You know what? I should have recognized his voice, but yeah, it makes sense. He was the narrator for the TTA, the Transit Authority, from 1994 to 2009. And now that I read this, I do actually recognize his voice as being this, because I can tell it.
I'm going to have to listen to that to see if I can pick up the... Because Henry, he did a good job of making him unique, I think. But now that you said Lincoln, I was like, I remember hearing like the World's Fair Lincoln voice. And I'm like, oh, that is him. I do recognize it.
It says right here he was a space ranger in Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. I don't quite.
A space ranger?
That's what it says. It just says space ranger. I don't know that one.
I wonder if that's still there today, if it's...
He apparently was the voice of the talking Mickey Mouse, the toy. So, interesting.
I saw an interview with him at one of the D23s. I don't know if he's still alive, but it was several years ago. And he said something about he voiced Mickey for a few things. I remember him saying that.
And he apparently did Splinter in a couple of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Splinter. Speaking of, there's a few unique things, like the bear claw marks on the floor in the lobby waiting room. I love the artwork in the lobby, too. There's a cast member, too, if you see a lot of the videos of that night when the ride was broken down. There was one cast member in particular, or a couple, actually, I should say. I shouldn't just single out one. The one that was singing, she sang, like, all the songs multiple times. and was a really good singer, actually. She would get over the loud, you know, the where you do the announcement thing, as she would sing all the songs. And there was another person that was kind of interpretive dancing, maybe, if you will, the songs as well, singing with her. Those cast members were really good. Like, another thing that sets Disney apart, I think, from a lot of others is the ride broke down. They couldn't get it fixed, but they still tried to make everybody, you know, give them an experience to remember. And it was very, they didn't have to do that, and they did. So, really cool. So if you see any of those, I was watching it live on Resort TV One when they had waited 3 hours, but they were kind of near the front of the line. A lot of people were waiting to be in the last show, so a lot of people waited until 9 and got in line way back by Pirates, and they
ended up disappointed.
Kind of, yeah. A lot of people were a little disappointed, but the fact that they let him walk through, and they got a poster out of it, I guess, which and a lightning lane. I mean, they tried to make up for it. But
by the way, earlier when I said that about him being the voice of TTA, you might remember, because it would be like now approaching Mickey's Star Traders. Like, he would say that, but I mean, of course, he would be saying the voice. Welcome aboard, TTA travelers.
Yeah, I remember.
You can go back and find some.
I'm going to have to listen. I'll probably recognize it when I hear
But the thing is, whenever they tell me, whenever I read that it was him, it was easier to say, oh, yeah, I recognize it now. More so you know,
right?
They're just recognizing it off the bat.
Yeah. The other thing, too, about it was the only merch, if you will, that I could get was the press pennies. So I bought all 5 or 7. I think there were 7 with the different characters on it. And there was nobody was using the machine at all. I didn't have to wait for it. I just like, oh, I was. But apparently that last day they moved it outside because so many people were trying to use it. I'm sure they broke that machine too. So I was able to get that without any issue. So I have the press pennies, which I think, like when Splash Mountain closed, that was about all you could get too, because everything else was gone way before that. The resellers had bought all that stuff up. So,
for some reason, I keep thinking, and I don't see it here, but they changed the order of the songs too. Whenever they shortened it back in 2012, I don't think if you came by Don't Growl, I don't think it was right after Bear Band Serenade. I think it was later.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the original order.
That's another song I remember as a kid. The adults would talk about that song. I remember hearing my dad talk about it in particular.
Came by, Don't Growl.
Right. And I was just like, I never got the, it didn't make sense to me, but at the time as a kid, I'm like, all right, that's fun. It's funny. It's a funny sounding song. But, you know, the adults found it funny. And of course, now as an adult, I find that one very funny as well. All the songs to me are very funny. I don't know that all the songs were originally meant to be funny, though, necessarily. But Contributor January made them funny.
Yeah, I think so. I think they had a little bit of humor in them. Come on, I mean, like, one night I left the wife at home and went out with the boy.
Well, that one, but I'm talking about, like, Tears Will Be the Chaser for Your Wine. Was that intended to be a funny song or a Teddy Bear song?
It ended up not being funny whenever they edited it, but originally it had a little bit of humor to it.
Well, right, yes. I just meant the song in general, just because it's these silly kind of bear characters singing makes them funny.
When it was like, that's a mighty big song, Trixie. Well, thank you, Henry. That sure ain't all it's big.
Right.
Yeah, they cut that one out.
Another crowd favorite towards the end, when on the final day, when the crowd were singing, they would also quote the lines between Teddy Bear and Henry, the whole, why don't you come up and see me sometime?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as soon as I find a ladder, I'll be right up.
That's it.
Everybody started seeing that too. I mean, I hope they can still capture at least some of that humor and theme in the bears instead of kind of just making them different characters altogether. The charm of the show was kind of that little tongue-in-cheek stuff that they did in between the songs as well that were funny for the adults. So hopefully they can at least inject some of that into the new show. I hope so.
So when talking about the original, we got to mention, you know, the Christmas special that they did first.
Now, I've never seen it that I can recall. I don't think I've even seen a video of it.
Yeah. Well, they're out there.
Yeah.
So on the Christmas show, they had traditional Christmas songs for the most part. They did add a couple that were not, like Tracks in the Snow. And I think Oh, What a Christmas was original. I don't recall that one. Hibernation Blues by Trixie. Rock and Roll Santa by Liver Lips. Hungry as a Bear by the Bear Rugs. You know, stuff like that. And then, of course, the Vacation Hoedown was more popular out in California than it was in Florida because they changed it back in Florida.
How many years did it run in Florida? 5 or 6?
I think it was 86 to 91, so about 5 years.
5 years, okay.
They had a couple of songs that were original and then once again and a couple that were other songs. Yeah.
But I think we were happy that it returned back to the original.
I think the most notable of the ones that were covers, I guess we could best way to put it, was On the Road Again, California Bears, Rocky Top.
Right.
Singing in the Rain, Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Thank God I'm a Country Bear. So, yeah.
That's funny, too.
So, yeah. But that show was pretty good, just not as good as the original.
I think it's a testament to, like you said, like X, Atencio, Albertino, and Mark Davis, as to how good that original show was, that it lasted 52 years, essentially. I mean,
you have the guy involved that did Yo-Ho and Grinning Ghost, basically. Right. He gave the lyrics, at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the Bear Band Serenade is a great song, too. I love it.
Right. Also lyrics by Xavier Atencio.
Yeah. He was an incredible songwriter, apparently. So.
At least the lyrics.
Yeah. He was really good at.
He was a good lyricist.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah, especially the Grim Grinning Ghost song, because it's like, God, how in the world do you even come up with some of these, putting these things together, right? It's just, it's incredibly descriptive, yeah.
When you hear the knell of a requiem bell.
Yeah. Just when you read the lyrics, you're like, wow, this, like, how did you come up with this? Like, just
the crypto's creak and the tombstone's quake.
Yeah, very, very cleverly done.
He uses adjectives that are not everyday adjectives.
Right. Yeah, And he didn't have the internet or AI to help you write this.
Not back then.
Right.
A thesaurus.
Right.
If you needed it.
Yeah. Crazy. Good stuff. Well, I will miss it. I'm not going to chain myself to the building, as I said. Too late now anyway, but I hope they do it justice. I have a feeling, you know, whatever they do, I mean,
it's not gonna be as good.
Like, shocking prediction, right? It's not gonna live up to the original. I mean, you have 52 years of people's memories, that the people who really love the show, nothing you can do is not gonna even come close to the original. So I have a hard time believing that I'm going to enjoy the show more than the original.
No. But they got to try something at this point. Because let's be honest, with the exception of the last night.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't exactly have a full house every day.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know. And here's the other challenge is, like, what are you going to do? Like, how do you make it a popular show again for more than a few months? Like, Journey of Water, it's a, you know, I don't know why I was comparing it to that, but I'm just, and what I'm thinking is, like, this isn't going to be an e-ticket again, ever.
No, so. But Journey of Water is one of those things that was never intended to be right. a e-ticket attraction. That one is not, it's not a fair comparison because
yeah.
that one is a people eater.
Sure.
For when they need
but
it.
But this show, I mean, what, I think 300 people is the capacity of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think it's 300, if I remember right. So how are you going to fill or mostly fill that for, you know, 15, 20 shows a day or how many they do?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to make it compelling enough to where people want to continue coming back to it? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a go-to every time for me, but every time I went, it was fun. I enjoyed the show. But it's like not everybody that I was with wanted to go see it. So if it was just right. me, I don't know if I'd go see it every time I was at Magic Kingdom. If I was by myself, for example, if I just went, I would probably go see it. But every time, no. But it's still a fun, enjoyable thing. So as long as it has the same kind of spirit of the original,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd go see it every few times, you know, every other time or so.
Right.
I hope so.
I was going to say, another one of the changes they made in 2012, you remember mm-hmm. how it used to be after Terrence sung How Long Is Forever?
Yeah.
How long will my baby be gone, I think is the exact title of the song.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they did was they, instead of having Henry at the end of the song do his eyebrows, as the drum solo, they made Terrence like go into a seizure or whatever it was.
yeah.
You notice that? Like he just right. started shaking all over.
Yeah, I remember seeing that and going like, that's odd.
Different. But,
no.
Yeah.
That's all it did, yeah.
That's what it like. He basically looked like he went into a mode in what the animatronics do whenever they malfunction, pretty much.
Yeah. right. And I'll say this again, I've said it several times, but in the new show, I hope they do upgrade the animatronics because they definitely were,
right,
you know, they weren't very mobile, which hopefully that will improve. That would be nice. And the volume of the show is very low. Whereas if you watch some of the videos of the last few performances, you can barely hear the show at all because people are just singing.
Mm-hmm.
Way over the volume of the actual show. So it's just remarkably not loud in that theater at all. So I don't know if they're too close to the Tiki Room to where they can't be that loud or what, but
that's so bad.
I think they just need to upgrade the sound system in the theater. Hopefully they can do that. 'Cause
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Well, I'll miss the original version, but at least we have video and such to have it live on in our memories.
Yeah. It'll always help. Live there. So it goes where everything else that kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Won't get to see it again in person, but it'll be a memory, a core mm-hmm. memory for forever. So
fortunately, it lasted long enough for people to get decent recordings of it.
Right, exactly, because a lot of the, like, Horizons, for example, and stuff, you know, before HD really
came along. Kind of hard.
Multi-camera edits of...
Even though people have done really good jobs of like revisiting it. Yeah, Retro WDW did.
Yeah.
For revisiting it.
They do a good job of cleaning up, you know, old
footage.
Old footage. Yeah. But again, the quality can't get that, like, HD level of... quality for anything prior to like 2005, really.
Yeah, I've kind of thought that I would love to be able to go back in time with the camera equipment that we have now and capture like the 80s Epcot especially.
Yeah.
That would be really cool to have.
It really would. Yeah.
Alas, it's not meant to be.
Right. But as you said, it is good that today there's tons of really high quality video of this attraction, so
mm-hmm.
it'll live on forever, and hopefully the new show will be an improvement in some ways, like the animatronics, sound quality, whatever.
And there was even a little bit that was prior to the change in 2012 that were decent as far as footage goes.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, according to Disney, this is going to open this year. Some say the summer, but Disney just says 2024, so.
Probably before Tiana.
But I mean, hopefully, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I assume they've already been working on the animatronics off-site if they're upgrading them, and they just plug new ones in. They're probably way easier to program a show than the original. I'm sure they've upgraded over time, but.
They're not changing as much as they are with Splash/Tiana. Yeah.
I mean, it's a show with how many animatronic figures in it versus a ride. You know, it's a lot easier to probably just rip out the old stuff and replace it with new technology and program it in like a couple weeks probably versus took like a couple of years or more to for the original to even be watchable. So, but another classic bites the dust and to some extent, although, you know.
It's eventually going to happen. It had a good run. It had a 50 years.
Yeah. It had a really good run compared to a lot of other shows. Can't really complain too much.
It's kind of sad that going back over to Epcot that a lot of the replacements for the original have had longer tenures than the originals did in some cases.
Yeah, that's true. And this, I guess, the first show that bit the dust at Magic Kingdom was the Mickey Mouse Review, which was like
I missed that bunch.
I completely missed it because it was gone before I was even born. That's how short that show.
Well, I just meant that not too many people remembered it fondly enough to fight for it. Let's put it that way.
Probably, it didn't really last long enough to become like a.
Yeah.
Classic, I guess. So.
Right.
Most people don't even remember it at all.
It lasted about as long as, what was it? The Legend of the Lion King.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That last that long? Did it? I remember seeing that one, but I don't remember how
long
it was.
Wasn't Legend of the Lion King the one right before PhilharMagic?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was. So it maybe lasted, what, 4 years? Maybe five?
I don't even know.
It was probably longer than the other. My bad.
It was not that great, though.
It had a longer reign than the original change to Figment, to Journey into Imagination.
Really?
When they changed it to... Oh, yeah, because they had that changed within like a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the one where they changed it and then they added Figment like a year later. Less than a year later.
Yes.
So... You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, X. I have trouble getting used to that still.
Nobody calls it
and, and Instagram.
Yep.
All at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, which has not been updated in a little bit, but maybe I can update it here shortly. Where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can also email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We also have a travel agent friend on our website, linked there, if you want assistance booking your next trip.
So, for Adam, this is John. This has been Traveling with a Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Thanks for bearing with us to the bear end.
And we hope you'll bear around to see us again. Yeah. Barrel around? Barrel? I can't remember.
The show is now hibernating.